Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Cut BS Live in the Game On Wisconsin studios, brought to you by Art Tech Ventures. The show is brought to you by Art Tech Ventures. The goal at Art Tech Ventures is to collaborate closely with founders throughout all the investment and fundraising stages, turning their visions into successful companies. Since 2020, Art Tech Ventures has helped turn great ideas into profitable businesses that make an impact on industries, communities, and beyond. Welcome again, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Brandon. You can go ahead and follow me on Twitter if you so choose to do, at Brandon_Snide. Also, don't forget to follow Game On Wisconsin wherever you have social media. Jacob, I believe we have a TikTok. Is that in the works still?
We have one.
I am working on just search for at Game On WI. Hit that subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Leave a thumbs up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to what is seemingly always a jam-packed show. If you are on the live stream, good evening. Happy Thursday. There is no football, but you have the Badgers who are dominating Ohio State right now, and you got the Milwaukee Bucks who have Golden State in Milwaukee tonight. Nonetheless, happy to have you guys tuning in. If you're listening on your smart device, wherever you get podcasts, remember Game On Wisconsin podcasts are wherever you have podcasts, and we're so glad to have you guys tuning in. Tonight's going to be a little bit of a different show. Usually I bring on another guest and we talk one-on-one and we break down the Bucks or the Badgers or the Packers. But tonight's going to be a little bit different. We're going to bring in some family from Game On Wisconsin. We're going to talk some Packer football. We're going to talk some memories from maybe over the years, maybe some not so good memories. And then we're going to break down some playoffs and we're kind of just going to have an open forum. So if you're in the chat, feel free to drop a comment. We'll get it read out there. We'll dive into it, and very excited to have you guys on. Travis,
is that the mayor of Ding Dong City?
They're related. But anyway, joined up by Jacob Westendorf. Hi, what do they call you? The head honcho, the head cheesehead over at Game On. Find him on Twitter at Jacob
I've never given Westendorf. Myself an official title, so whatever you guys you want to call me outside of asshole, I suppose that works out pretty well. And pretty excited to be here by the guy beneath both of us is actually, you mentioned Facebook, yep. Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Drew's actually going to be the starter of our Game On Wisconsin OnlyFans page. So,
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is a thirsty, what are they calling them? Thirsty Thursday trap something?
Yeah. I'm way too old to know what any of that shit
is. I don't know what we're calling it. Anyway.
My wife has no social media, refuses to use it, asked me if I have ever heard of a thirst trap because she found it on TikTok. And I was like,
it's taken off.
Delete the damn app.
And Packers Twitter, if you're not on Twitter, probably stay off. If you are on, it's a whole world of its own. Drew, how's it going?
It's good, man. Just popped home from work. Saw you guys are up and running. Figured I'd pop in and say hello. I don't really do much of these. I kind of just behind the scenes on my laptop making stuff, so it's a little different for me, but it's cool.
And if you're unfamiliar with Drew, you need to give him a foul.
Yes, this is the Drew. Yeah,
this is the Drew, the creator of Cut the BS logo, which we appreciate and love, and my mom is a big fan of it. So shout out to Drew for creating the logo for Cut the BS. And there is no BS without me because that's my initials. So I appreciate it, Drew. So we're gonna dive right into it. Talk a little bit of Packers and playoffs and talk a little bit about maybe your favorite memory of the year so far. And I know the Packers, look, they probably, let's hope they have multiple memories to be made here yet in this season. They're on the first round bye. They got the second round divisional game at home, opponent to be determined outside of this weekend. Drew, I'll start with you. You know, it's since April 29th, when Aaron Rodgers news broke that, you know, he was unhappy with the organization, unhappy with the front office, unhappy with Brian Gutekunst. Ever since that day, Drew, it's been literally a roller coaster as Packer fans. You open up the season, they get blown out by the Saints. They go on a little bit of a run. Aaron Rodgers has COVID. I mean, literally, it's one of those years where you'll never forget. No matter how it ends, you'll never forget it. But what sticks out to you as maybe so far in the season, your favorite memory?
Yeah, there's been like a ton. I disclaimer, I live in Chicago, so it's been a constant shitstorm ever since the whole Rodgers on vacation thing and all that. Yeah, it's been, my phone blows up every day, like, oh, Rodgers going to Denver. I'm like, okay, it happens every year. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine. So yeah, a lot of Bear fan tears. Definitely one of my favorite moments. I actually got to go to the game on Christmas Day, which is awesome. Spend Christmas with Danielle, my fiance.
That's awesome.
In Green Bay, which was, yeah, super fun.
Win over, win over the Browns. Win over
much,
the Browns.
Much, much better looking than I am. I'll kick the coverage, as Jacob always says. But, yeah, it was great. Going up to the game, spent some time in Lambeau. It's, like, one of our favorite places to go. Just enjoying the food, atmosphere. Packer fans are the best, obviously. And just being up there and being around people that like the Packers is a nice change of pace. And, I mean, Chicago, I can't go outside my apartment with my Packer stuff on because – little dangerous. Yeah, that was awesome. Going
up there, I was down in Chicago last weekend. I went to the Office Experience. I'm a huge Office.
Oh yeah, fan. Sweet. I work right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm a huge. So I was right down there. It's the first time I've been in Chicago, probably since I was like a kid, and it's probably the last time I'll be in Chicago for the extended time here because I'm not a fan of it. Jacob, we met up after a Packer game. They beat the Steelers. We lost Jair Alexander. We're looking to get Jair back. We'll talk about that a little bit later. What sticks out for you so far on this season?
Similar to what Drew mentioned, I was standing in the end zone of Alan Lazard's touchdown reception that broke the franchise record for touchdown passes for Aaron Rodgers. That was pretty cool. Seeing 12 give the I love you thing around the stadium. Mm-hmm. Do some stuff like that. Being in attendance for the games that I have this year, it's just been a fun year. You know, you could tell there's some angst in the crowd of like, hey, this could be the last time I see Aaron Rodgers play at Lambeau Field. So I want to make sure he's appreciated. His ovations this year when he runs out of the tunnel have been louder than his ovations are always very loud. I know when people were during the offseason, they were worried about like, hey, will the fans turn on him? No, the only way the fans were going to turn on him was if he played poorly, and he has not. He's the best player in the NFL. He's the league MVP, and for my money's worth, the most talented player to ever play that position in the history of the NFL. And it's been a joy to watch him. It's been a joy to watch this team and their closeness, their selflessness that you talk about. You think about guys like Preston Smith taking a pay cut to stay here. Mm-hmm. You hear about how Green Bay is not the place to be. It's this trash fire organization, all the crap that you heard this offseason about this organization. It's been a lot of fun. And with all these guys coming back, it's really starting to feel like it's 1996 all over again, where the Packers could win all of their playoff games by a touchdown or more. I think they won that year. They won every playoff game by double digits. I don't know if that'll happen, but they're the favorite. And they are, you know, I haven't been able to say this in 10 years, maybe a little less, but they're the best team, and the best team doesn't always win the title, but I think they're the best team. And I think it's going to be a really special weekend coming up in a couple weeks as the Packers play for the NFC title against whomever it is that comes into Lambeau Field.
Yeah. And everything that you reminisced on is absolutely true. And it's, you know, when you watch Aaron Rodgers exit Lambeau, you know, for me, it's been, you know, every game, you know, so I'm 32. I grew up with Brett Favre, and then I obviously ran into Aaron Rodgers. So I've had like probably you two. This is all we really know is great quarterback position, you know, a great quarterback at the position and Hall of Fame type player, MVP caliber. For me, it's just been kind of savoring that moment every week because I don't know what is going to happen this offseason. And I don't think any of us, maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't really know yet. I think we're all going to kind of see what happens and how the Packers finish the year. But for me, it's sitting back and sometimes, you know, it's out of frustration and it's, you know, anger. It's happiness, just enjoying every moment with Aaron Rodgers, because it's going to end soon, eventually. And eventually you're going to look back at those highlights and, you know, I'll be showing my kid, Jacob, you'll be showing Blake, and you'll look at that as a memory of that, something that has happened growing up and became, you know, one of the reasons you really became a fan and what we all do right now is get on this camera and talk about it. For me, it's just been savoring every moment. Well, you know, watching him leave the field, you know, watching him get teary eyed, talking about Preston, talking about Devontae, calling Devontae Adams the best player he's ever played with, talking about his
relationship. We disagree, by the way, but that's a different topic.
You know, talking about his relationship with Brian Gutekunst, how much he loves Luke Getsy and Nathaniel Hackett and all these guys, and just taking everything in, because every week has really been an adventure. I mean, every week it feels like there's something going on within the Packers. Every, you know, you wake up in the morning or you turn on Twitter and it's always like, okay, outside of Antonio Brown, the Green Bay Packers have been the center of the national media, and every week continues to be that. We saw the Boomer Esiason text message, quote unquote, and we saw COVID and obviously the injured toe and how he injured it, and Pat McAfee every week. So he's always got something to say. But for me, it's just taking it all in, because if it is the last year, so be it. He's done marvelous things. I agree with Jacob. I've said it before, I'll say it again, until I see somebody else at the position, at talent perspective, he's the best quarterback to ever play the game. Everybody will tell me Brady because his reigns, but Aaron Rodgers does things on the field that nobody else can do. And just taking those moments in, that's just been something that I'm trying to do this year. Now, when they're in Cincinnati and like True North Packers fan says, and they miss the extra points and the field goes, it's frustrating. You throw the rubber brick at your TV, whatever it is you have. But just savoring those moments and enjoying them, because it could be it, guys. And Drew, I'll send it back over to you. Do you feel like this is it for Aaron Rodgers? I'm putting you right on the spot right away.
Yeah, that's tough. part of me kind of does. Like, part of me kind of sees it as like he's kind of letting it all hang out there, especially in like the public eye. He's kind of just not really throwing any caution in the wind with stuff he says, how he acts, that kind of deal, which I love. I love seeing athletes be themselves. I think like so much time we get used to, the candid or the usual answer of, yeah, like we're just looking forward to the next game, taking one at a time, that kind of stuff. Like, I'm sick of that. I'm so sick of it. I like watching guys be themselves, and you get to know who the players are, and you really can see like who your favorite players are. So like part of me thinks, yeah, just because of the way he's been. But the other part of me thinks like, hey, like he really likes Green Bay, regardless of what happened in the offseason, he enjoys it here. And if they can keep Devontae, run it back again and kind of go to
the crowd. Stop it.
Jeez. There's always one. But but yeah, I hope he stays. Part of me thinks that he might be gone. And of course, like all my Bear fan friends always love the whole like, when he's gone, you'll understand the shit we go through.
And we might. Jordan Love is unheard of. And Jacob, I'm gonna steer it a little bit. Should we be seeing more out of Jordan Love? If in fact you can give a two-part answer, I'll let you mm-hmm. speak on whether you think Aaron Rodgers is gonna come back or not. But then the second part, should we be seeing more out of Jordan Love?
So a couple things. For one, I do think Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Okay. You've heard everything he said this year. He's usually very honest when it comes to most things. I guess I have to say most things now after the way that this, season went with his press conference and a phrasing he used about a couple things. But when it comes to Jordan Love, I think the answer to that question is, yeah, you'd hope to have seen more progress from him by this point. We don't know what practice looked like, but he had two stints of extended playing time this year. Obviously the start against Kansas City, which you can maybe throw out because of the way it went down. And then Sunday against Detroit, where he plays this whole second half. And I think that that was an opportunity missed by Green Bay. Obviously they have to do what they think is best for them to win a Super Bowl. And they thought playing Rodgers for a half was that. So who am I to question Matt LaFleur? But I think it was an opportunity to let Jordan play a little more. The way that I've said it, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers has said this, friend of the program. Essentially, the way you felt about Jordan Love on draft night is probably the way you feel now. Me, I didn't like him. And not because the Packers already had a quarterback, not because they were in the NFC Championship game. I've said this a million times. I do not care about Aaron Rodgers' feelings. If his feelings were hurt because the Packers drafted a quarterback, put your big boy pants on and get over it. Like, it's just not that big of a deal. That's the same way you got your job 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But I didn't like him because I thought some of the things on tape just weren't fixable problems. I think he has issues with accuracy. I think his footwork has gotten better. His decision-making is still a little problematic. He puts the ball in harm's way. He turns the ball over relatively decent. And the other thing that, the Kansas City game, it's not like he had three or four turnovers, but there were a few plays where like there's one that sticks in my head where he's like running around in a circle. He gets grabbed by one of the Kansas City defenders and he just chucks it in the middle of the field. Luckily, one of the Packers receivers was standing there, but that's one of those like
he meant to.
It's almost like an instinct. where if I see a quarterback roll to his right and then throw the ball back left, my first instinct is like bad. Like it just comes out of my mouth. Bad idea.
Hey, listen,
there's a big difference between Jordan Love and Pat Mahomes, who at one point.
We don't know that yet.
Pat Mahomes has been the best quarterback in football. I will buy you a steak.
Me and you will go back and forth on this. I just think he is right now, but Patrick Mahomes also sat for a period behind Alex Smith.
1 year.
Okay, 1 year. He also played in a Cliff Kingsbury offense down in Texas. I mean, it was bread and butter for Jordan Love. Went through three offensive coordinators in his years at Utah State. Let's also back up a little bit too about this Jordan Love thing. Let me back all the way up. Drew, I'm going to leave you on an island because I think Aaron Rodgers is coming back. So you're the only one
right now. He's right.
I know you do.
This is my wrong take debut. I'm fine with it.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. He's probably, we can all agree, and we'll talk about the MVP. He's probably the MVP.
Oh, shit.
he's probably the MVP, but I think we got to pump the brakes real quick, Jacob, and we'll get Joe on here in a second. Jordan Love hasn't been given a fair hand at all. Like Jordan Love has not been given a fair hand.
Before you keep going, he's not going to. Like he is not going. He's going to. Have a fair hand. No, he's not.
We don't know that. You don't know that.
He's replacing a legend.
Right.
That alone is not a fair hand. His rookie season. You're going to talk about the COVID year. That's already happened. That's already done. Like all that stuff is factual. He's not going to have a fair shake at any point in his career. I'm not saying his career is over, but. If he's the starting quarterback for the Packers at any point, it's going to be next year replacing a back-to-back MVP. It's just not going to be – it's going to be very similar to when the Broncos went from John Elway to Bubby Brister. Obviously, Bubby Brister doesn't have the draft pedigree that Jordan Love had. He's not as talented as Jordan Love. But nothing about Jordan Love's career is going to be fair. And that started the night he was drafted because you guys saw immediately as he was drafted, that was the question. Why would you pick Jordan Love? There were questions like that when they had Favre, but why would you pick Jordan Love? You have Aaron Rodgers. Like I understand the comments on that, but nothing about Jordan Love's career is going to be fair. I think some of the stories that you've read about him from like Tyler Dunn and some of the other places that have done features on him tell you he could be built for something like that. But if you're Green Bay, and the back-to-back league MVP comes to you and says, hey, I want to be your quarterback until I retire. I don't care if they traded three first-round picks to get Jordan Love. You say, okay, we'll count that as a sunk cost, and so be it. Move on. Bad first-round picks, and I use the word bad loosely here, but bad first-round picks happen all the time. Jordan Love could have been Dayton Jones. Jordan Love could have been Justin Harrell. Could have been anything. But again, the other point I make is, and I've said this a thousand times, if the decision on the 2022 quarterback was made on draft night in 2020, Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, Russ Ball, Mark Murphy, you can't fire one of them, but they all need to be fired because that is horrendous process. If they decided without accounting for any variable change into this guy's career, Aaron Rodgers went from a guy who looked like he was declining to back-to-back league MVP. And now it's like, okay, well, sorry, Jordan, this happened. We didn't anticipate this as it went down, but it went down. Aaron's got to be the quarterback for the foreseeable future. If he wants to be here, if he doesn't want to be here or wants to retire, then you got a guy that you developed for a couple of years. You're in a better situation than say the New Orleans Saints, the Pittsburgh Steelers,
some of these other teams that have done,
because as often said, the worst time to look for a quarterback is when you need one. Because when you need one, that's how you go through and trade up for a guy like, I don't know, our friends to the south, Mitchell Trubisky, our friends to the south, Justin Fields. And I'm not writing the book on Justin Fields, but the Chicago Bears gave up a first-round pick that's in the top 10 to get Justin Fields. Now, if Justin Fields turns out to be good, which I still think he can, then that pick doesn't matter. But Green Bay could already have that guy in tow. There you go, Sam Hallman, in tow, T-O-W.
Drew, I know you got to bounce in a couple minutes. Want to get your take before you got to get out of here. And again, man, I appreciate you jumping on. Let me get your thoughts on where you think Jordan Love should be. Do you want to see more out of him? Are you okay with where he's at right now? Go ahead.
So just going back to what Jake said, I'm cool with the Love pick. I'd rather take a shot on a quarterback when we don't necessarily need it than end up being the Chicago Bears and able to draft one every single year. Like, that is terrible. Don't like it. Not a big fan. So I'm fine with it. As far as his development and everything, I would have loved to see more of him, especially in a year where like we were good enough. Especially that last game would have been nice to see everybody sit. I was a big against playing Aaron Rodgers, playing Devontae, playing those guys. Didn't want to take the risk, but I understand the guys want to go out there and play. But with Love, like we don't know. We don't know if he's going to be good or not. I agree. Have no idea. Haven't seen enough. And I think Jake's right. Like, he's not going to get a fair shot. Like, even if he does get to finally start, he's following up Aaron Rodgers. The bar is Aaron Rodgers, and you're never going to be that. I don't think there's anybody in the NFL that's going to be that. So it is tough for him. But I do think, like, I enjoy seeing him and Aaron getting along a little more than people thought. People thought it was going to be like a Brett and Aaron type situation. I think it's a little bit better than that. So, I mean, all this time of him learning from Aaron Rodgers and just sitting behind him and getting to pick his brain and being on the mic with him, hearing his calls, hearing what he's seeing or hearing what he's saying in the game. I think that's all super valuable for him. And at the end of the day, like, even if we don't know enough about him and 12 decides to stay, nobody else knows enough about him either. So somebody's going to have to take a shot on him. And, you know, we have chip on a ton if we need to, but I'm cool either way. I would love to have Aaron Rodgers back, but also I think Jordan's got some talent. So we'll see.
Hard to argue with any of that. And Drew, I know you gotta get moving, and I do appreciate it. If you guys are on Twitter, make sure you give Drew a follow at DrewPY34. If you need a graphic designed up, that's your guy. Trust me, that's your guy.
Pay him. Do not ask him to do it for free. Fucking pay him.
It's a family friendly show, Jacob.
I'm sorry, but Drew won't.
My mom is listening.
I'm sorry, Brandon's mom, but Drew will not do that, so I will do it for him. If Drew is going to do a graphic for you, offer to pay him.
And if he denies you, then still pay him.
I appreciate it.
Nonetheless, Drew, I whenever you got to get out of here, you go ahead, and I appreciate you, man. But joining the podcast, joining Cut the BS for his first time, there he goes. Okay. Joe Arrigo, the founder of Franchise Sports Media, covering all sports in Las Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Arrigo FSM. Joe, how's it going, man? Thanks for coming on.
Man, I love it. Thanks for having me. Hey, I got it. Jordan Love. I was listening to
Take the floor. Take it.
Hey, look, Jordan Love, fair shake, not just because he's following Aaron Rodgers, but he's also following Brett Favre. You got two legends, two huge shoes to fill.
Yep.
And the standard is now the standard for quarterbacks, which is a far above beyond any organization in the National Football League. You know, you got basically 30 plus, almost 40 years of elite Hall of Fame top five ever quarterback play between two guys. You're coming in, that's a lot of weight on your shoulders. And I know you guys probably seen it. I think last on Monday or Tuesday, somebody put Aaron Rodgers' like first full game action, like all of his throws.
It was awful.
And yeah, and Jordan Love looks light years ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
so I actually have a lot of hope that he's going to come in and be more than just serviceable. But I mean, he's young. I frankly, I don't think 12 leaves after this year. I think he stays. So I think, you know, getting the most out of Jordan Love development and showcasing that at various times would be prudent for the Packers going forward.
I agree with you. And actually, Joe, I tweeted out something. I said, you know, whether it's Love, you know, Derek Carr, whoever it is, like, name another quarterback to come in next, you know, if and when Aaron Rodgers leaves next year. It's impossible to fill those shoes, not only because, like you said, Aaron Rodgers, but you got a legend behind Aaron, you know, that came before Aaron Rodgers, and the task is going to be daunting, to say the least. Now, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. You think he's not going to leave, and we're going to dive into the next fun topic, something I don't really want to waste a whole lot of energy with, but I want to ask you guys, I want to open up the floor for you guys. Joe, I'll start with you. Is Aaron Rodgers the MVP this year?
Absolutely. I actually think that this year is a little more impressive because of everything that, you know, going into the season, we all know the backstory with everything that he partially caused himself, but then be as open and brutally honest during his initial press conference. And then to go out there and back it up, he laid an egg, really the whole offense laid an egg week one, and to back it up and then deal with, you know, his comments regarding COVID and vaccination and immunized or not, whatever, like for him to come out and play the way that he's played, it kind of shows just the elite level talent that he has. And really, you take Aaron Rodgers off Packers, you know, they're maybe in a 7-win team, and you know, and I'd say maybe depending on play calling. But you look at, you know, you take some other quarterbacks out there, there's a lot of talent around. And I just think that he's the best quarterback in the league. And I, you know, I know people can say Mahomes, he's younger, but Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. And I really don't think it's that close, to be honest with anybody. You know, and that's not me being biased. He is Aaron Rodgers. There's a dip, and there's Mahomes and some of the younger guys. There's another dip. And honestly, Brady's not even in the top 10 to me. He's more that, that's a game. And I'm gonna catch a lot of heat for that, but they don't care because you look at him against Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. He wasn't miraculous. It was a couple defensive plays last year that kind of like allowed, you know, him to have a game. Second half, he was below average. Look at him in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, you know, really the ones that pooped the bed a little bit, and he wasn't great. The defense for Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. Yeah. And yeah, he threw a bunch of yards this year, but I mean.
Again, he had almost 500 completions, though. I mean, my God. You know, he threw the ball 40 times a game.
Exactly. When you don't use Leonard Fournette and you don't use Ronald, you know, Rojo and whoever else, like, you're going to throw the ball a little bit more and a lot more, especially if you're Brady and you're running things. So, for everything that Aaron Rodgers brings to the table and from an on-the-field, off-the-field, locker room, Aaron Rodgers is by far the MVP, and I really don't think it should be close.
Joe, spitting facts like Sam drops over there on YouTube. If you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that thumbs up. Don't forget to follow us on any platform you have, any social media platform. Join in by another special guest. I told you guys we were going to be bringing in guests. We're going to be rotating guests and talking some Packers. Mike Kawano, over a writer, contributor over at Game On Wisconsin. Follow him on Twitter at Kawano Mike. Mike, is Aaron Rodgers the MVP?
He should be. As long as we don't have 50 Hub Arkishes voting, he should be.
Well, we know it's not going to be.
I know two people that didn't vote for him. Hub Arkish obviously is one. And I heard Ira Kaufman, who covers the Bucks down in Tampa Bay,
not surprising.
On Russo's show yesterday.
Not surprising.
He voted for Brady. He did say, he mentioned like that he folded maybe to some peer pressure or something, but I know at least two people that didn't vote for him. I do think, Mike, not to cut you off, but just on that.
Which you did. It's okay.
Yeah, I did. I'm an asshole. That's my thing. But
I'm used to it.
I do think that this will be one of those, like when you see the MVP ballot, it won't be normally there's a clear cut winner.
Yeah.
And this year, I think it could be like if there's 50 votes, like it would not shock me at all if it's like 27-23.
Yeah.
Or maybe not like that, because some people are going to vote for like Jonathan Taylor. Some people are going to vote for Joe Burrow. I think this comes down to Rodgers and Brady. And Joe
Rodgers could win with less than half the votes, basically. Like, legitimately. Yes,
And I think that's absolutely possible. But Mike, you are here. And as my guy, Mr. Labo, points out, Mike's a baller.
Mike, real quick, I got to give it up to Mike, because I've been thinking about it. In our messages on our platforms that we use, Mike is a grinder, ladies and gentlemen. That dude works.
Doesn't sleep.
He does not sleep. He's
just not what you guys do.
It's just, he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. He's a tremendous follow on Twitter. Make sure you give him a follow. But Mike, before Jacob rudely cut you off, go ahead and dive into your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and the MVP.
I mean, it's all going to come down to semantics. I think the funniest part of it is, you know, people who are saying Brady should win it are saying, oh, it's all about the counting stats and who cares what his team did. And that's always the argument for why he's better than Rodgers. So it's like, you guys going to pick one? Like, which side of the fence are you guys straddling? But I mean, if you just look at it, yeah, Rodgers had the stinker in week one. But what do we hear in every sport is that what have you done for me lately? That's the rating system. Always has been, always will be. Rodgers hasn't had that bad of a game. His worst game since was probably the Seattle game, where he pretty much handed away an interception like he has done maybe, I don't know, like five times in his whole career. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he's been you can't say it was his fault that they've lost the game. You can definitely say that about Brady. And I know like some people try to poo-poo and boo-hoo that, oh, but Brady didn't know that he was going to be without so-and-so and so-and-so. And it's like, you still had him for a whole half and you couldn't do jack squat against the New Orleans team that
played a tight,
you know, was that was basically punting the ball as an offensive weapon. So, I mean, at home. Yeah. Like, let's not forget that.
New Orleans, though. I mean, if New Orleans did that against Rodgers in week one and against, you know, Brady in really a must-win game, what does that say about the Saints and the job that their defense and Sean Payton and Dennis Allen?
Glad they're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, Dennis Allen might be – like, I don't know if they do an Assistant Coach of the Year award. If they do, Dennis Allen deserves a feather in his cap because that Saints offense is terrible. And it was worse.
Let's not forget –
once Jameis left.
Yeah,
once Jameis was out, they're going – I mean, Trevor Siemian, Ian Book, Taysom Hill. Like, I mean, look at – there are some legitimate bums starting for the Saints at quarterback to the point where if they punt from midfield, it's almost like, okay, well, that was all right. Let's hope the defense can get a turnover. And this Bucs team, Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, like, they had a lot of dudes, and albeit not for the entire game. That is the best passing offense in the NFL statistically. And they held them to 0 points. And somebody get me a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson jersey, because that video or that clip of him
standing Brady.
I'll make a call to you. The guy that recruited him to Florida is one of my best friends, Tim Skipper. I'll see if I can get you that autograph Chauncey jersey. And hey,
I would tell you, tell him I'll frame it right behind me. I will put it where Bart Starr is currently at.
I got you.
I'll take the star then, because
I didn't say you could have it. I just said I'll move it over. you give me $2,000, you can have that Bart Starr jersey.
No, you bought it. I know what you bought it for. I'm not paying you.
You don't know what I bought that for.
I do. You told me multiple times.
Do you know what I bought and put it in? Okay.
Because your wife told you to.
That's correct. I did. You're right. Yeah. Okay. You're right. So yeah, nonetheless, everything has a price, right? I have an autographed Aaron Rodgers jersey. I have an autographed Favre jersey.
Wilson, I'm open. Hey,
Clay Matthews.
Don't let the walls around me fool you. I'm open for bit. I'm ready to deal.
I have a price. I will just tell you that, you know, it's going to be.
I bought the Giannis jersey. I don't know if you can see it behind me. I have absolutely zero room for it, but it's.
I will
it's
give there. You one of these jerseys for your new truck.
The star, you might have a deal. Real quick, before we move on, Mike, I wanted to ask you. We already talked about it. Our thoughts surrounding Jordan Love. He's only played six total quarters. Really, wasn't any fairness for his starts. You break down film. You and Dusty Evely do a phenomenal job at what you guys do. What are your thoughts, Mike, on Jordan Love? Should we be seeing some more out of him? Are you concerned? Are you optimistic? Is he at where he should be? Go ahead and dive into your thoughts on Jordan Love.
Okay, so we'll start with the negative first. I guess the biggest concern negative you're going to have is that, and I'm sure Jacob kind of pointed it out, is that, you know, he's kind of in the same mold as a like a Josh Allen, where he's this big, strong-armed guy with scattershot accuracy from time to time. That tends to not get reined in, and we haven't really seen it consistently reined in. He's better than he was in college. I think he was. And at the same time, I do think they're adjusting his throwing motion. So it does take some time to fine tune mechanics and try to, you know, get your accuracy down. You know, you're trying to work on work the starting and ending point at the same time. So that's the, you know, the biggest point of concern. I think the positives that you're seeing, though, and, you know, you had Alan Lazard put it in pen this week, where he basically said, like, he has such a better control of the offense. He has a command of the huddle when he's in the game. They say that, you know, when he comes in, you know, he's the quarterback. He is QB1 when he's on the field. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's something that, you know, you're never going to see it as a fan, except for when he's in a game. And like you said, he's had six quarters of play at this point. With regards to, if you just watch the Detroit game against the Kansas City game, okay, I know some people are trying to say, like, it's a lot of one read throws and stuff like that. But at the same time, he's making the right first read on a lot of these plays. And he's getting the ball out in rhythm. That's the thing. You know, you get a lot of these guys who play in a spread system in college. They don't know what throwing at the top of your drop means. Basically, if it's a three-step drop, when your third step hits, the ball is supposed to come out. He's doing that. best example of that is that play to the flat to Patrick Taylor to convert a third down right before I think Taylor scored his touchdown couple plays afterward. Yeah. So that's something that you like to see out of someone learning how to convert to playing under center more often. And then, he's just, and I think everyone has to take a step back and remember, yes, he's a second-year quarterback, but he didn't have a preseason last year. He's played 1.5 games with some mop-up duty in week one and last week in week 17. So really, he's played, I guess if you count the two starts, he's got 6 quarters, and then he's got like another 2-ish quarters after that. So, you've seen him on the field for 8 meaningful quarters. 8 quarters that matter, I guess I should say. So, progress is kind of going to be what you deem is positive or negative kind of thing. And like Jacob has said on several platforms, if you liked him before, you're going to still like him. If you didn't like him before, you're still going to have concerns. So it's still too early to tell. But what I said on social media a lot is, no matter which side of the coin you're on, if you're on team keep Aaron or team move on from Aaron, no matter which side of it you're on, you want Jordan to play well, because either it means he is the guy coming up, or you're going to get some team to trade something, a nice shiny penny for him. So either way, whenever he comes out and plays, that's the part I don't get, is people that are like dogging him before he even takes the field. I'm like, no matter what, you want him to play well, because it benefits Green Bay one way or the other. Like, you shouldn't be dogging the kid and wanting him to fail. You want him to do well. Whichever route it is, that's your own, that's your fancy, but you want him to do well, because one way or the other, he's going to help this team in the future.
You guys heard it from Mike, Jacob. Give him time. He will come around. He may not be Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to be Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers potentially, but give him some time. But moving on, we're going to talk about the Packers. There is no Packer game this weekend, which is great. I can enjoy football stress-free, sit back on my couch and enjoy some playoff games for 3 straight days. This year is the first year with Monday Night Football. Joe, I'll start with you. This may sound like a dumb question, but there's people out there that think otherwise. Are the Green Bay Packers the favorites in the NFC?
Joe's frozen.
And Joe is frozen. I thought he was concentrating, so I'm going to redirect it to Jacob. I know this sounds crazy. They have home field advantage. They probably should be. In most eyes, they're the favorites. In our eyes, they probably are. Your opinion on the Packers being the favorites in the NFC?
Yeah, they are. They're the number one seed. They're going to be at home. Whoever they play next week, Arizona, LA, San Francisco, Philadelphia, they'll be a touchdown favorite, if not more. And then when they get to the NFC Championship game, you're probably looking at, 3 points is the standard Vegas gives for home field advantage. They'll be more than a 3-point favorite against Dallas or Tampa Bay or whomever, or any of those other teams that I just mentioned they could potentially play. The only team they couldn't play in an NFC Championship game is Philadelphia, because obviously if the Eagles win on Sunday, then they'll be the team that comes to Lambeau next week. So they'll be the favorite no matter who they play. I think they'll be favored in the Super Bowl by more than 3 points as well. They are the favorites in not just the NFC, but the entire NFL. And we've talked about this a lot what happens with this roster if they get all those guys back? Well, now they're not only getting all the guys back that we've talked about, but today Whitney Mercilus practiced. And guys, I'm telling you, that is incredible, because shocking. I watched Whitney Mercilus walk off the field and he literally could not move his arm. It is incredible to me that the Packers are going to potentially be able to get him back. And that adds to, when the Packers have rotated their edge rushers, when Preston and Gary come off the field, they go from, it's like going from Davante Adams and Alan Lazard to Equanimeous St. Brown. That's not fair. To Malik Taylor and Juwan Winfrey. Like, there's just no value in those snaps that come from Garvin and Tipa and Ladarius Hamilton during the course of the year either. They just haven't gotten home with their pass rush. And now you're talking about when those guys come off, we're talking 20 snaps. Instead of 20 snaps from those dudes, we're talking about 20 snaps from Z and Whitney Mercilus. And not just that, but you can put those guys on the field with Preston and Rashawn, who have had great years. This pass rush is going to potentially be lethal when the playoffs start, if those guys are able to get on the field. This team is the favorite. I know we say it every year, it's title or disappointment, but this is the first time that I think you can say clear cut, this team is the best team in the NFL. And I don't think there's a question about it. Whereas last year, you could have said Kansas City, you could have said Tampa Bay. The year prior, obviously, they weren't that good. So
no
on.
No fans in the stands last year. Or
the
limited.
Last time, exactly. The last time the Packers were clear cut, the best team in the NFL, was 2011. And that was when they went 15-1 and they just gagged away a game against the New York Giants for a bunch of different reasons. This is the best team. And I don't think there's any question about it. I'm excited to see the team with all those guys back and the guys that they added. And those injuries might even be a bit of a blessing in disguise. Without Za'Darius Smith getting hurt, Whitney Mercilus isn't here. Without Jair Alexander getting hurt, Rasul Douglas isn't here.
Might not see a lot of Rashawn Gary either if the Smith brothers are healthy.
Yeah, and who knows what
his production is, obviously. Joe, when you look at the NFC, if the Packers are the favorites, which home field advantage, the best record in the NFL, it looks like it's going to be cold, at least for the divisional round is what they're projecting right now. Is there added playoff pressure this year? Not only on Aaron Rodgers, maybe on Matt LaFleur, maybe on the rest of the team, thinking that it could be their last chance and they're just a few wins away from a Super Bowl. So if they are the favorites, Joe, how much extra pressure does that put on them?
I think there's a bunch of pressure because Jacob just eloquently outlined why they're the best team in the NFL right now. And when you're that guy, when you're that group of guys and you're that talented and you're that deep, and now with the reinforcements on the way, it is Super Bowl or bust. There's a lot of legacies on the line too. Aaron Rodgers' legacy. There's some things to write about his legacy going into this, you know, this playoffs here. You know, Jack, I joked about it.
Joe, we got to get you some better internet, homie.
We lost Joe. We lost Joe again. I'm going to bring in the sixth special guest of the show. One of my favorites, Monty Moore, co-host of Four Downs over there at Game On Wisconsin. Follow him on Twitter at Ferd_Ferguson. Did I get
Ferguson?
That? Ferguson.
Right. Yeah. Are you not familiar with the SNL sketch?
I'm not. I don't watch SNL.
Oh, you got some homework to do.
Welcome to Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah. I don't. But either way, give him a follow. He co-host over that Four Downs, which is a tremendous podcast.
Oh, yes.
Monty, is the added pressure real for the Green Bay Packers this year with, you know, the possibility that Aaron Rodgers is in here next year?
So I think the added pressure is there, not necessarily for that reason, but I said earlier this week, there is no reason for them not to do it this year anyway. You know, forget what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers next year. Like, you could put that, even if you put that out of your mind, I mean, they are not only the healthiest team going into the playoffs, but by virtue of the guys they're getting back, they're getting the biggest talent influx you could possibly get. You should not be able to get guys at that level that they're getting back this late in the season. So, I mean, like, I'm sure you guys have talked about already, every team kind of has its flaws in this playoff field, but to have the best quarterback in the entire field and to have the healthiest team in the entire field with home field advantage, I mean, they have to do it. Like, that's it.
And Mike, I'm going to redirect to you. You got potentially, well, I shouldn't say potentially, you're the healthiest team in the NFL right now. There's not a real critical injury right now across the front for the Green Bay Packers. Is this, in your opinion, and I've said this to Jacob, and me and Jacob went back and forth on it, and this could sound crazy to a lot of people. To me, this is a do or die. You don't win this year, you're probably never going to win another Super Bowl, at least. Yeah, you could at least say for the next decade, barring, you know, acquiring, you know, a top end quarterback. Is this, in your opinion, a do or die season for the Green Bay Packers? Even if Aaron Rodgers were to come back next year, this team's going to look 100% different.
I think, okay, in the context of Aaron is coming back, as long as he's coming back for two or three more years, no, it's not do or die. It's do or die for like this year and maybe next year, because who knows what next year's roster is going to look like. But they'll still have a young core. That's why after it, they'll still have a young core. You're still going to, in that scenario, you're still going to have Rodgers for, you know, you're going to get through a like mini rebuild kind of thing, kind of like what 2018 was in a sense. You're going to kind of reshuffle the deck in a sense and get back, you know, try to clear the cap. And then be able to, with the new media money coming in 2023, reshuffle the deck, add some new talent and all that jazz. So I don't think that they're going to bottom out or anything like that. It would be a big kick in the nuts, no doubt about it. But I don't think it's do or die. And going back to the pressure, I'm sure that, you know, any player will tell you there's pressure on them all the time and stuff. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think this is one where we're fans, we're feeling it, because it is the whole like, oh God, what's going to happen? We're not going to have any excuses this year. Last year it was because we didn't have Bakhtiari and all that kind of stuff. This year, I think it is more fans are projecting it than the players will themselves. Because I think the players are going to look at it. It's like you said, there is the little bit of, you know, there's legacies on the line and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't know how much that really gets into the minds of players in the moment. I think they're just so focused on the next game, the next play kind of thing. I don't think they have to, you know, it's not like the NBA where you're going to play a team for a series kind of thing. It is just, you got 1 week mm-hmm. to prep for a game and that's it kind of thing. So it's not like, oh, we dropped, you know, it's not, we were up 3-0 and we dropped it kind of thing. And, you know, now we're 3-3 or anything like that. It's like, just got to beat the guy across from you on the next play. That's your only goal. That's your only, you know, that's all you're focusing on. So I think a lot of the pressure is fans just seeing the totality. And, you know, like Andy Herman made the joke that it's like, I wasn't getting my hopes up until I saw Merciless get back on the field. And now I'm ready to be painfully murdered if anything bad happens. So I do think that kind of is a microcosm of the pressure in the moment. I think it is a lot more of a fan felt pressure than it is on the team in that sense.
That's a good point. And real quick, we have a programming note here for Cut the BS. We are interrupting the show with a scoring update. The Bucks are up 40 at halftime.
4-0. That's incredible.
Over the Golden State Warriors. I had to know that. Everybody knows my crush on Giannis. Jacob, you made an interesting tweet. Again, if you're not following Jacob, ladies and gentlemen, give him a follow at Jacob Westendorf. You made an interesting tweet. I think it was either today or the day before regarding the offensive line. In your opinion, and I know it's going crazy right now in the chat, what is the ideal starting offensive line? And Bakhtiari's back. You got Billy Turner that's practicing today, or that he did practice today. Mike, I think is that correct? He did practice today. Mike's my insider for anything that happens.
2 days in a row.
Practice. Two days in a row. So, Jacob, if you got everybody back outside, you're not going to have Elgton Jenkins back. Well, I mean, I don't know. The way they're going with injury reports.
I have offered my ACLs for both Elgton and Bob Tonyan. So I don't need them. They serve me no purpose. Elgton, Bob, if you guys need one, I'm right here, baby.
So looking at it, Jacob, with that being said, outside of Elgton Jenkins, they're pretty much healthy. What's your opinion? What's the best starting five for the offensive line?
Right. So Yosh over Bakhtiari, because 100% of Yosh is better than 80% of, which was the dumbest conversation that we had on twitter.com. So yes, I am being facetious. David Bakhtiari, John Runyon, Josh Myers, Lucas Patrick, and Billy Turner. And I know Dennis Kelly's played well. I said, I wondered if they would do something like that. I think it's clear that they like Lucas Patrick a lot more than Twitter does, which matters because Adam Stenovich and Matt LaFleur are a lot smarter than the five of us are. The second thing is that Lucas Patrick to me is somebody that I heard Mike Wall talking with Jason Perron on Quick Slant State. If you haven't listened to that, go listen. It's an hour long conversation, so it is a little bit longer, but it's very good. And Mike Wall obviously played for the Packers. He knows a little bit about offensive line play. He said that Patrick is a guy that when he steps on the field, he's ready to fight. Maybe not the most physically imposing, maybe not the most physically gifted player on the field. And honestly, if Elgton was playing, he would be on the bench because John Runyon would be the right guard. But having a guy who's going to go against Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh or Aaron Donald and just be willing to kind of fight with those guys, that's something that shows up well. Dennis Kelly, thank you for your service, but enjoy your time on the bench. And I hope I don't see you at any point because I'd rather. Billy Turner is the most underappreciated player on this Packers team for the last 3 years. It almost feels like everybody made up their mind that Billy Turner was injured. I'm sorry. Billy Turner was bad after a 2019 season in which he played okay at guard and then had a really rough ankle injury that he had surgery on, I believe, and then was not very good for like the last three games of the regular season and then not good in the postseason either. Now he can play right tackle, and he's been a really good right tackle for the last three full seasons. Billy Turner is very good. And this Packers team, I know a lot of people say Turner is a quote unquote easy cut when it comes to some of the cap ramifications this offseason. I disagree. The Billy Turner is somebody that the Packers need to keep around because he's somebody that if David Bakhtiari, knock on wood, gets hurt before Elgton Jenkins is ready to come back, he's played left tackle and he's played it okay. He's done really well at right tackle. He can play guard in a pinch. Having a guy that can play every position but center is so valuable to your offensive line. And he's been really good. And he has the agility on the outside a little bit more so than Dennis Kelly does, where, again, my NFC championship game, my pick, is Green Bay against Dallas. And if Dallas is coming to Green Bay, then you're talking Micah Parsons, Randy Gregory, and DeMarcus Lawrence. You want that agility on the outside against some of those guys that have some speed to them, and he has the ability to handle that power as well. So those are my guys on the offensive line, and it's a good problem to have. And another reason that I want to point out to everybody when you watch the draft this year, this is why Brian Gutekunst picks as many offensive linemen as he does, because Dennis Kelly wasn't supposed to play. Royce Newman was not supposed to play. The Packers have used so many offensive linemen this year. You can never have enough good big guys in front of Aaron Rodgers. So when they pick an offensive tackle in the draft this year, do not be surprised, number one, and don't be upset, because this is a team that you can never have as many good offensive linemen. I know you're going to be upset because it wasn't a wide receiver, but I've seen a lot of good teams have some really good receivers that can't protect the quarterback, and it's really hard to throw to all them sexy receivers if the quarterback is on his butt.
Yeah, it's been a team where, man, you lose the left side of your offensive line. Elgton Jenkins didn't play a whole lot this year. I don't know how many weeks he missed. It was a handful of weeks with that ankle injury. Then obviously he tears his ACL. We're going to kind of reset a little bit here, joining the show, another special guest on Cut the BS, a
the mother
contributor
of my son-in-law.
For
most for importantly,
Game On Wisconsin, Haley, social media manager over here at Game On Wisconsin. I would give your Twitter handle, but I don't know how many Y's there are.
It's five.
Yeah, and you can drop your Twitter handle. I like to give everybody's Twitter handle just to give them a little bit of a bit of shout out. But Haley, your thoughts on the season? It's been wild, really, since Aaron Rodgers said he didn't want to come back to Green Bay, and ever since then, since April, it's been just a roller coaster. So, recap your thoughts on the season, maybe a favorite memory, and then what you're excited about going into the playoffs.
I think it's been a great season. It's been kind of wild, as we've all said already. You know, we started not knowing if Rodgers was going to come back, and then he comes back and he's playing great. You know, I think somebody said it before because I was watching the show earlier, that he's back-to-back MVP, hopefully also with the Super Bowl ring this year as well. I think that's what we're all hoping for. I do agree with Jacob. I think that it'll be Cowboys, Packers, and the NFC title game. So that'll be good. Not for my household, but
I was gonna say you're gonna have a divided household there.
Yeah, we've already said that we're not watching that game together. So we're not talking after either. but I think it's been a great year. I'm pretty impressed, you know, especially with how many key players we've had out and hurt. I think everybody stepped up. I think everybody's done a great job. It's been kind of surprising, honestly. I don't think, you know, starting the season, we knew what we were going to get, especially after that first game against the Saints. Not a good way to set the season, but I think we've done great since that. And I'm excited for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's been, you made the comment about the Saints. I mean, for the offseason we all had, because we're all Packer fans here, there's the cat's out of the bag. we had a tremendous roller coaster season all year off season with, you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to come back? Is he not? Reports that he are, reports that he's not, you know, all kinds of stuff. Then he comes back and then all of a sudden they get blown out in week one. And it's like, oh God, you know, where is this going to go? Is this going to derail? And the lead so far of where he could potentially go is over in Denver. That was what the rumor was last year in the off season. That's, I think, he's still with Shailene, and that she lives in Boulder, which is about an hour out of Denver. Monty, I'm going to shift topics to you. Your thoughts on Nathaniel Hackett, Luke Getsy. I believe it's Luke Getsy's first interview for a head coach position. Of course, it's in Denver. Do you find any correlation between the two? Do you think it's just a coincidence, or do you think John Elway's got a trick up his sleeve for this offseason with the interviews of Hackett and Getsy for head coach?
Well, I mean, they've wanted him now, you know, for a year, and
maybe more.
Maybe more. And they
had him. It was a done deal, remember?
Yeah, on draft night, yeah. But they, I mean, I'm sure they're thinking that can't hurt. I mean, they're that's a good situation to try to lure him in, because I mean, Hackett has been a dynamite coordinator the last, you know, last 3 years, and it's, you know, it feels like it's his time to get a head coaching job somewhere. So, you know, and to have Getsy follow him along, I mean, yeah, you would have a tandem that Rodgers is obviously super comfortable working with, but I mean, that kind of really feels like you better be damn sure you're going to get him. So if that is their main strategy, that feels extremely risky to me.
Mike, and you look at this Packer team, they're obviously in position right now to, yeah, it should go to the Super Bowl. I think Jacob said it, just win the damn thing. It's about time. When you're looking at this team, you got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, right? You got the best receiver in football. You have, and I tweeted it out Sunday during the Lions game, the best tandem at the running back position. And now you're getting guys back on defense that were gone all year, not just any guys. You know, you're getting all pro guys at probably the most important positions, cornerback, outside linebacker, pass rusher. You're getting two of them in Merciless, who used to be a pro bowler. In your opinion, Mike, or what are you looking at as the biggest strength of this team heading into the playoffs? Are you muted, Mike? Jacob, I'll direct it to you. Biggest, you know, looking at this team, January football in Lambeau, you know, you got the running game. You obviously have the Aaron Rodgers you can lean on. What is the biggest strength for this Packers team?
I think the biggest strength is the fact that they are able to win in a variety of ways. And that's not something that we've been able to say. You know, in 2011, it was they better score 40. In 2014, it was their offense better be up to snuff and able to go. And they should have gone to the Super Bowl that year. When it comes to this team, I mean, if they need to ground and pound it, okay, we got Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, and we'll just ram it down your throat as much as we can. Slash and dash, whatever, smash and dash, whatever you want to call that running back tandem, they're able to do that. If they got to win games on defense, they have. I'm not going to feel incredibly comfortable if it comes to a game that they've got to win 17-14, but that's just not the way NFL playoff games are won a whole lot anymore anyways. And against some of these teams that you're going to face, you know, especially, again, I anticipate that the divisional round is going to be Dallas against Tampa Bay, which means the NFC Championship, you're going to be facing Dak Prescott and his group of receivers, or Tom Brady and his Tom Brady-ness of everything. So if you have to win on defense, I think you're hoping in that case that you can pick off Brady a couple times, pick off Prescott a couple times, and score off of those things. Okay. But you have – there we go. Mike's here. So they have to be able to score. But they can win in a variety of ways. The only thing that you just – the only thing that worries me is if this game comes down to a field goal, a special teams field position mm-hmm. type of game, just because there is nothing about this special team. Like Bojo, which everybody was in love with, has really not had a great month of December,
especially at Lambeau.
And it's going to be cold, now.
Yeah.
Right now we're looking at frigid temperatures for next week's divisional round game. As of right now, it's looking like it'll be anywhere from like 10 degrees and under. That's cold.
I think they said it was going to be under. Drew, I forgot his last name, Bergerone or something from CBS. I think he said, if the Packers are lucky, the high is going to be in the single digits.
Yeah, and I'm all for that because I want it to be frigid and I want that home field advantage. And it doesn't necessarily play into the Packers' hands as a team that is a passing team, but they practice in it every day. You heard Kenny Clark talked about it last night with Lombardi's Bar. Mm-hmm. They're used to it, and they have the ability in that case of, hey, it's cold. Get those offensive linemen moving forward, keep their cleats in the ground, and let these linebackers try and tackle 28 for four straight quarters. That's not a fun opportunity. And they still have the ability, even if it's cold, to go from 12 to 17. You know, Tom Brady had one of the great quotes that I ever heard. They asked him, how are you able to play so well when it's so crappy in Foxborough? He said, when the defense slows down for speed, my brain doesn't. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers' brain and Devontae Adams' brain doesn't slow down. So they have the ability to make those plays. And you add in that, I think a lot of these NFC teams are pretty soft. The Rams, all glitter, all Twitter, no hitters.
Yeah, they're all warm weather teams as well.
The Cardinals, I think Kyler's hands are tiny, and he would struggle mm-hmm. in the cold like that. San Francisco, I know everybody and their mother, for some reason, is afraid of San Francisco. I am not one of them. Kyle Shanahan's a choke artist, and the Eagles aren't very good. So then you go into the Bucks and the Cowboys, warm weather dome teams, and you don't know how they're going to play in a situation like that. So their strength, they can win however they want.
Looking at it, Haley, you heard all the strengths for this Packers team. Obviously, you know, as Packer fans, when we watch a game, we all know what their strengths are. And sometimes we don't really want to talk about their weaknesses. Do you want to dive into, mm-hmm. in your opinion, what you think a weakness on this team could be going into the playoffs?
Special teams.
I think we can all agree with that.
The very obvious answer of special teams. You know, I feel like every time special teams are on the TV, I think we're all just kind of watching like this because we never know what's going to happen. I think the last couple games they haven't really messed up as much as they had been, so that has me hopeful. But I don't know. I think if we lose a game, I think it's going to be because of special teams.
Yeah, honestly, it's hard to disagree with you. I think every week we saw Mason Crosby in week 17 missed a freaking field goal indoors. I think it was actually an extra point, if I'm not mistaken. Missed the extra point from 30 yards or whatever extra points are. I think they're 30 yards, whatever. But, yeah, you're probably right. 33. So, yeah, obviously special teams are an issue. And I agree with you. I think probably most Packer fans will agree with you. Looking into the playoffs, Monty, I'm going to shift over down to you. The Packers are either going to get the Rams, the Eagles, Niners, or Cardinals. Out of those four teams, who do you not want to see?
I don't know, because going back earlier when I was talking about, you know, every team does have, you know, its flaws. The team I suppose I would say I would want to see the least right away is Dallas, just because of the amount of talent they have versus, you know, say, because they can come in there with a hellacious pass rush, excuse me, mm-hmm. and they've got two dynamite wide receivers now, because I forgot Gallup unfortunately got hurt. But, I mean, they have things that they know they can go to that those things travel well. And, you know, their line isn't the way it has been the last few years, where it was a slam dunk that the Cowboys had the best O-line. But, I mean, they still have two pretty damn good running backs that can play in the cold weather, and that game will translate.
Yeah, it's I think, you know, how it pans out, I think for the divisional round, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I don't want to get too confident, but I feel like it's just a round in that second round, especially if it's cold like that, it's just going to be one of those, I don't want to say roll out the helmet type games, but kind of one of those games where you should dominate whoever comes up here. Mike, if your mic is working, who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for a team this weekend? Is there a team that you want to see? Is there a team you don't want to see? What are you looking for in wildcard weekend?
I guess the big one, I'm just rooting for anyone playing Brady, so I'll root for the Eagles this week.
I'm with you on that one.
Birds.
Because then we get the Eagles.
Dirty birds. Yeah. And even though I know they're going to want to run the ball on us and all that kind of stuff, I think Hurts kind of falls in that category of I don't know how he's going to throw in the cold either kind of thing. Otherwise, though, kind of like Jacob, I'm not too worried about any of these teams. It's like we've been saying on this thing, it's go time for these guys. They just gotta play who's in front of them. They're the better team, especially if only half of these guys come back that are, you know, practicing. If only half of them come back for this week, that should be more than enough for whatever team they face. You know, like Garoppolo, his game is throwing over the middle, and in the cold, he's going to be even more scattershot over the middle. So take advantage of those turnover opportunities. I know we can't play Dak yet, but watching him the last like month, he's struggling to get the ball outside the numbers. It looks like my dad throwing warm-up routes to me. He is struggling hard to get the ball outside the numbers. And if he can't do that in a dome, I don't know what that's gonna look like out in the frozen tundra. So that's looking a little bit in the future and stuff. But honestly, divisional round, we'll just take whoever we get, kind of thing. That's not being overconfident. It is just we're supposed to be the best team in the NFC, probably in the league. Go out there and prove it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And real quick, before Haley's got a dip, she's got to get the little one off to bedtime. It's always my favorite time of the night. Maybe not for you, Haley, not yet at least, but when it's bedtime for me. Now, I know, real quick, I know you got to go, but I know you're rooting against the Chiefs this weekend, so I'll be there rooting against the Chiefs with you. She, you know, is in that area.
I got bad news for you both.
Well, just let her talk, Jacob. do you have any rooting interest this weekend? Haley, is there a team you want to see, don't want to see? I know you want to see Kansas City lose, but.
I live here. I will be the first to admit I am a Chiefs hater. I think, you know, it's a combination of a couple things. They really like to talk a lot of shit, and they haven't been able to do that until the last couple of years, and now they think they're just the best. Well, you know, I grew up, I remember all these kids that I went to school with wearing other teams' jerseys, and now they're number one Chiefs fans.
Oh,
and
of course.
Like, no, yeah. That's not, no, you just had a Cowboys jersey on a couple of years ago, and you were also a Packers fan, and now you're a Chiefs fan. Like, no. So, yes, I do want to see the Chiefs lose. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. Not confident in Big Ben on that at all.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, yeah, I would love to see a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. I also work for State Farm, so I'm a home.
Double win there. Double yeah. win there.
Company lady. Wow.
The number one. Number one insurance provider, right? Is that in the company, mm-hmm. Haley, right? It's a humble brag. Yep. You can let it out. It's okay.
Yep. Number one nationally ranked. So, you know.
No big deal. No big
deal. Keep that through 2022. But, yeah, I mean, of course I want the Chiefs to lose. It's not going to happen. I would also like to see the Bucks lose, but.
Yep. No, I'm in agreement with there. In agreement with you. And, Haley, if you do got to go, before we get lost in the shuffle, thank you for hopping on. I greatly appreciate you coming on and dropping your knowledge with Packers in the NFL. Jacob, I'll toss it over to you. You said you got bad news for Haley and I. We want to see the Chiefs lose. I mean, are you telling me they're not going to? And then who do you want the Packers to play?
The Steelers don't stand a like the Eagles don't stand a chance. But
I don't know about that. That could be if the Eagles can run the ball. I know Tampa Bay has a really good run defense. So Eagles.
Okay, let me rephrase. The Eagles.
Levante David doesn't play for the Bucks. The Eagles have a chance. If he plays, they're kind of fucked.
Are you gonna yell at him for using that? Like you yelled at me?
No, because I like Mike.
That's fair. Anyway, the Eagles stand a minimal chance. The Steelers stand like Big Ben was retiring, walking off the field in Baltimore, retiring. And then it was like the Raiders won and they were like, LOL, just kidding. You got to play now next week. The only way that Pittsburgh wins is if Kansas City feels the same way I do. And I can promise you with Andy Reid, they don't. And that is that they can just show up and win that game. And quite honestly, they could hand in like a C minus and win that kind of game. Like, here's the thing. Mike, I know everybody here probably thinks Matt LaFleur is the coach of the year. And if I had a vote, I said today, that's who I would vote for. But Mike Tomlin winning 9 games with a corpse at quarterback, that team, like every time I've watched the Steelers a lot this year, they're on TV a lot. They played the Packers. They played Chicago. Like they played a lot of teams that I have some interest in watching play. And I kind of like the Steelers and their tradition and all that sort of stuff. It's very similar to Green Bay anyways, but they stink. Like they are horrible. And they won 9 games and are in the playoffs. Mike Tomlin should get coach of the year consideration for that alone. But Kansas City is going to win that game by 3 touchdowns. And they're going to play the Packers in the Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the world, not named Aaron Rodgers.
That's disgusting.
I mean,
on that
hey,
note,
truth hurts. And listen, I'll say this. There's plenty of things to hate about the Chiefs. They have a type. They certainly like guys that have records. They're fans. I don't live in Kansas City. I don't know what they're like. I didn't have a bad experience at Arrowhead, but there's nothing unlikable about Patrick Mahomes. Not a thing.
There's
a couple things.
He
cannot control his brother. That is not something. That is not his fault.
Brittany.
There's serious feelings that I have. I'm with Haley on this because when I was in the Army, no matter where I was stationed, wherever I lived, it was New York, Georgia, Colorado, I forgot where else I lived. I hate it. I despised whoever was playing. You know, whoever was the home football team in that state, I hated them. And I wanted them to lose at like every juncture, every game, every anything. I didn't want any success. So I feel Haley's, you know, energy, her hatred energy towards the Chiefs fans. And I hope, Haley, we have some luck this weekend, but I'm not feeling great about it.
I'm not either, unfortunately.
So, well, go ahead.
Thank you. I was going to say thank you for having me on.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm going to go do bedtime now.
Yeah, go.
Good luck,
go.
Haley. Son-in-law. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Give him kisses for Blake.
All right, bye.
I was going to bounce something off of what Jacob just talked about, coach of the year wise. I mean, I know it does seem like everyone's saying that it should be Matt LaFleur, and I kind of think that same thing where I wouldn't be surprised if it's not him, because I would pick Mike Vrabel. The fact that they ended up first in the AFC. So they got the one seed. They were missing. Everyone always says, oh man, that entire offense is Derrick Henry. They can't do anything without him. Well, they didn't have him for a huge chunk of the season, and no AJ Brown for a huge chunk of the season, and no Julio Jones for a huge chunk of the season. And, you know, the Packers, yeah, we've dealt with a ridiculous amount of injuries, and LaFleur has managed that incredibly, but he doesn't have Ryan Tannehill being quarterback along with all of those either.
So, Monty, let me hold on real quick, Jacob. Monty,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, is it? Monty, let me ask you a question off of that, because I don't disagree with you. I want your opinion on the MVP, because you mentioned Tennessee winning without Derrick Henry. Now this year, outside of Brady, there's Jonathan Taylor was having a strong campaign for the most part. Does that take away from Jonathan Taylor because Tennessee is winning without their number one and arguably the best running back in football?
Well, I mean, I think realistically it was nice that people were mentioning Jonathan Taylor. I don't think there was a realistic shot he was actually going to win it. But I mean, after they put that effort they put against Jacksonville, it doesn't matter how many yards he would have had. Like there's, I mean, there was everyone was watching the scoreboard of that game or watching that game because no one could believe that the Colts were losing. So all eyes were on you getting beat by Jacksonville when all you had to do was win to get in the playoffs.
Did you guys see Ballard's presser today?
Yeah, he's non-committal. Holy
shit. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, they're a mess, dude. I mean, and what they gave up for Wentz. What were you going to say before, Jacob?
Just holy shit on that press conference from them and the Colts. I mean, the Colts are a team that they're a well-constructed roster. Their offensive line's really good. They have a good defense. It's run by Matt Eberflus, who's getting some head coaching love, which I think he should. Jonathan Taylor is the best back in the NFL. Sorry to Derrick Henry and some of the other guys that maybe are in that conversation, but Jonathan Taylor was never an MVP, a serious candidate, I don't think. This is a guy who he doesn't play like 50% of their third downs, and this isn't a slight. It's just how it is. I mean, and not only that, but like he has a year that's not as good as Derrick Henry's a couple years ago where Henry didn't win MVP. Some could take that into consideration. I wouldn't necessarily, but you could. He's a really good player, and you can vote for him for Offensive Player of the Year, which I might, but I'm not putting a running back in. Like the way for a running back to win an MVP is if they have the year that Adrian Peterson had. And unfortunately, it's just like the Heisman Trophy. It's a quarterback award. The two best players in college football this year were Will Anderson at Alabama and Aiden Hutchinson at Michigan. Mm. One of them was a Heisman Trophy candidate. One of them wasn't. One of them should have been, but wasn't. But they gave the award to Bryce Young. And I'm not saying he's an undeserving winner, but they gave the award to Bryce Young because he's a quarterback. The MVP is very similar. It's a quarterback award. And you could just call it that. So the Offensive Player of the Year award is the MVP award for non-quarterback. I think that's the way they should do it. MVP, just have like an unspoken agreement. It's probably going to a quarterback. Offensive Player of the Year then goes to the best running back or receiver or tight end or maybe an offensive lineman. I don't know. My Offensive Rookie of the Year vote went to a vote that I don't have. Went to an offensive lineman. So, I mean, I'm all for that. But, yeah, Jonathan Taylor, great year. But not just that, but this is a narrative-based award, and you can't win MVP if your team has a winning
right.
Not even in the playoffs.
That's where here's the other point, too. Monty's talking about, you know, Vrabel for Coach of the Year, and he's in consideration, certainly. The other thing about them being the number one seed in the AFC, though, is they play in a division that plays Houston twice. Houston's one of the worst teams in football, and Jacksonville, who is the worst organization in football, and they get four games against them. And oddly enough, they lost one to the Houston Texans. So I'm not disqualifying Vrabel. Monty brings up a lot of good points as to his candidacy. And if I had a vote for someone other than LaFleur, it would have gone to Vrabel, but that would disqualify him for me.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting offseason. Half the NFC North doesn't have coaches or general managers, so we're going to be looking at a restructure for the brass for the Vikings and the Bears. We're going to end the show, and it just kind of came through my brain here, and I'm going to put all of you on the spot. It's a little bit of fun, so have fun with it. Mike, I'll start with you. Monty can follow, and then we'll finish with Jacob. If you could get in front of the Packers team, you know, in the locker room before game, what would you tell them as a fan, you know, of this team? Obviously you want to see, you know, them win the Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers go off and to the sunset if he does choose to leave after this season. What would you say to this team ahead of this playoff run?
I'll get emotionally and sappy and all that kind of stuff, but honestly, I just want them to have fun with it. You know, like I know that in between the lines, it's got to be all business and stuff like that, but I think, honestly, this team always, under Rodgers, this team has always done its best when it's kind of had an F it attitude and just gone out and had fun on the field and stuff. And that would be kind of my message to them is to, like, whatever happens is going to happen this year. Just go out and enjoy the moment. Have fun on the field. You know, we've spent most of this show talking about how they've got the, you know, they spent this year getting the band back together. Yeah. Then they didn't look like the band was back together because half of the band was hurt for most of the year. And now the band got back together again because they're getting healthy again. So it's like those kind of chances don't just come around every day kind of thing. Yeah. Like, shoot, we lost it last year because Bakhtiari got hurt and the wheels kind of fell off there in the championship game. So, like, just like I said, it's super sappy and cheesy and stuff, but it really is just like, just enjoy the moment, own the moment, but enjoy it, have fun in it, and don't press kind of thing. Like, just go out there and have fun and just kick butt out there.
Yeah, it's you got me ready right now, Mike. I'm ready to go out there and play and last probably a snap before my back gives out. Monty, what about you, man?
So I would do whatever I have to and say whatever I have to a point to get them to go out and be like really hype, because if they can come out the way they finally came out against Detroit and actually start fast, that in the playoffs is going to be huge, because other than that game, we've seen them come out way too slow, and that starts the nerves right away. So really to kind of just piggyback off what Mike said, I mean, if everything was in front of you last year, you're standing in it this year. It's no longer even in front of you. I mean, you've brought back 80 to 90% of the team, which was hard enough to do as it is. But now I know you guys talked about it right as I jumped on, you finally have a full Lambeau Field for the playoffs, and the weather, which we talked about, should actually cooperate this time. So, I mean, you've got all of your advantages built in, and now do it for the guys that fought all year to come back from injuries to have this moment, because the only positive thing you could maybe say came out of the pandemic is the NFL finally stopped their stupid IR rule where you have to be out for the entire year.
That's a good point.
If that was still the case, none of these guys are back. So, you know, for them to fight back the entire year, come back from their injuries and have this in front of them, just go do it.
Jacob, last but not least.
Yeah, I would hold up the speech from the best player Aaron Rodgers has ever played with from the 2010 NFC Championship game with Charles Woodson. One mind, one heart, one purpose, one goal. Words that are tattooed on my leg, oddly enough. I would play that for them. And then I would go back to 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey coach Herb Brooks, where he said, "This is your time. Go out and take it," before they beat the Soviet Union in the Miracle on Ice game. Obviously, you guys have mentioned a lot of good different points, but everybody from this team, if you do it as one and you do it for the guy next to you and you do it and go out to your time and take it, absolutely. I think they can do that. The other thing Monty mentioned, the guys that have fought to get back, everybody talks about Aaron Rodgers getting his second Super Bowl ring. I understand that. But me personally, I don't care about Aaron Rodgers' legacy. Like, his legacy set in stone to me is one of the best to ever play. So nothing that he does is going to change that. But I think about guys like Devontae Adams, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Mercedes Lewis, these vets that don't have rings. And they've been around for Adrian Amos. They've been around for as long as they have and don't have a ring on their finger. Get it for those guys. You guys remember in 2010 when they were talking about wanting to win that ring for Charles Woodson and Donald Driver. And then they did.
Good point.
And then, then in 2014, they were talking about winning one for Julius Peppers. And then they should have, but they didn't. Tragically didn't. Go win it for those guys. Now, win it for Randall Rodgers. Cobb. Win it for Randall Cobb. Cobb's another one. I mean, honestly, Rodgers. What is it? Rodgers and Mason Crosby, are those the only guys?
Bakhtiari. Yep, that's it.
Rodgers, no, from the 2010 team, it's just Rodgers and Crosby.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think those are the only guys that have a Super Bowl ring. Correct. So,
well, Rasul Douglas does.
Oh yeah, he does. He does because he was a sophomore season. Yeah,
Philly. Yeah,
or his rookie season. It was his rookie season.
Go Birds. So go win it for those guys. Win it for the dude next to you. And then you don't have to worry about, you know, everybody talks about the uncertainty of the offseason. Well, the uncertainty doesn't matter that much when you have a big shiny trophy coming back to Lambeau Field, a bunch of screaming fans like us idiots that'll be there in the cold. And not only that, True North Packers brings it up. Aaron Jones, Preston Smith. Preston Smith especially took a pay cut. Yep. And I know as well as anybody else, you four, 1, 2, 3, 4, if your job comes up to you and says, hey, we want to keep you, but we want you to take less money. I am giving them a middle finger and saying, No. Preston Smith said yes and decided to come back for something that he thought was bigger. Reward him for that.
He was so close. He was so close to that incentive on Sunday, too. He was so close.
Go win it for those dudes. That's what I would say. Go win it for the guys next to you, and then you can be immortalized forever in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And my final point is Mike Holmgren, after they won the Super Bowl in 1996, he says, as important as it is to any other team and any other player, this thing means more to us. And it does. It means more to us. That trophy has our coach's name on it. And like I said on Twitter today, it's time. No more heartbreak. It's time for that thing to come home.
That's a way to end it. I'm with True North here, drops in one more comment. Packers are the best team in the NFL. Just go out there and play with it. You know, play like it. And that's exactly it. And Jacob, you hit the nail right on the head, man. You're absolutely right. It absolutely means more to us. That's why we get behind these microphones. That's why we get behind our computers and write up the practice reports and get behind, doing the things that we do. And you're absolutely right. It means more to us. But with that being said, what a tremendous show. This was a whole lot of fun. Thank you, first off, to everybody that has been tuning in. Ben, Travis, Jason, True North, Sam, Joe, thank you guys for tuning in, dropping your comments and interacting with us. Secondly, Jacob, Monty, Mike, thank you guys. Also give a thank you to Haley, who jumped on, to Drew, who jumped on, and to Joe Arrigo, who also jumped on, who we need to check on Jacob and see if he needs better internet. but no, thank you guys so much. I wanted to get a bunch of people in here, preview the playoffs. I appreciate each and every one of you that chimed in and jumped on. And Mike rushed home from work. He's in Hawaii. It's still sunny out there. It's been dark for like 6 hours here by me. with that being said, gentlemen, any final quick thoughts before we jump on out of here?
Go Pat, go from me.
Really go big Pat, wings.
That'll do it for the show, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget, you can follow Game On Wisconsin wherever you have social media. Just type up at Game On WI. Don't forget, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button to Game On Wisconsin and hit that thumbs up for Cut the BS. And again, also don't forget, we are available. Even if we do a live show, this will be uploaded for a podcast version, which you guys can all check out after we're done with the show. But for Brandon, for Jacob, for Monty, Mike, that'll do it. You guys have a good one. And as always, go Pack, go.